Okay, so the average age was about 19 years old. We had people who were as young as 9 and as old as I was, which was 27 or 26. So pretty young. And you know, you have to think like, well, for some people so young, what do they know about formal software development, right? They were pretty much winging it. And that will get important later. We had cool things like swallowed apps. In those days, we used to be able to take any X program and just swallow it into the panel. So we had all kinds of interesting stuff. But really, with all these things, all these features and options and so forth, it really was unsustainable. You know, and there was a big mail that was pretty famous in GNOME by Havok Pennington, where basically it says, we can't keep doing this. And we had to improve. And one thing I heard about, right, is that distros are ready to drop us. You know, and I say this is like, because we're going to go about why did we go from 1.0 to 2.0. And there's a lot of reasons why people thought, why didn't we just keep doing what we were doing? So when we were talking about 2.0, we were transitioning from an immature bunch group of boys and young men to something more formal, right? We were growing up as a project. GNOME was growing. We had to care about API, ABI stability. We had to worry about these things because application developers are saying, well, I can't depend on this. We can't do any of this stuff because you keep changing things. So we really had to get serious and do something. And I say that because today GNOME is a very conservative project, right? We don't allow patches get extreme scrutiny. So it's not easy to get in and being able to do something. So, and this is sort of the background where we came from. So when we moved to GNOME 2, there was a lot of hostility. I mean, you know, people hate change. They just don't like it. Like, they'd be like, why did you do this? Why'd you remove this feature? Why did you do that, right? And the thing is that what did we knew about community outreach back then? What did we know? Again, consider our age, right? Free software was fairly young, you know, and we left a lot of things unsaid. We allowed our community to write our story for us, right? So when you see these GNOME threads, you'll say you see a common theme of complaints from people. You know what? Sometimes I can't read my points in my own slide. We didn't explain to them why we changed these things. We didn't tell the context. We didn't really give them anything to really hold on to. So we allowed people to write our story for us, and we just went on. You'll see a whole bunch of complaints. And, you know, it didn't matter. That was free software back then. We yelled at everybody. Everybody was yelled at. It was a bizarre model, right? That's what we were doing. So the question is, if we look back and we said, could we have done better? And I don't know. I don't know the answer for that. I don't think we could have done better. Like I said, outreach was relatively unheard of. Who did all that thing? Community management? We don't really do that. And so we just sort of let it pass and do whatever we needed to do. But then, after 10 years of development, GNOME 3 came along. And it was a different world. But when we planned this release, we spent an enormous amount of time on this release. We had videos, we had great release notes. I mean, we never did any of that in GNOME 2. I mean, we never had the kind of release notes we were doing today. Arguably, it was probably one of the best planned releases. We did not want what happened in KDE. We didn't want that 4.0 thing. But I knew that it was going to be hard, just based on what happened 1.0, 2.0. Because we really did change a lot of things, right? And for me personally, I didn't want anybody to write our story for us. I didn't think we needed to be ready when the onslaught occurred. So the initial reactions was not exactly what was less than spectacular, right? I mean, I think we could sum it off to that. The unholy mess that is GNOME 3, which was done by Linus Torvalds. And can we really blame them, right? We changed interactions completely. The interfaces changed completely. We didn't even, there was no bridge between GNOME 2 to GNOME 3. How did one go from one to the other, especially if you've spent 10 years on a workflow and suddenly you move to this? So it was not going to be smooth, just because people had invested so much time on this on their desktop. So understandably, there was a lot of outrage. I mean, a lot of outrage. And we had a bit of a problem with messaging. So, as you can see, it's a different world out there right now. During the GNOME 2 days, we didn't have social media. We didn't have Facebook. We didn't have we didn't have Twitter. We didn't have a lot of things. And things can go bad. News travels fast. Bad news travels faster. Ugly news travels even faster than that. So social media increases proliferation. And then you get this bad news, you know, this is the last Gwadek. I mean, I know you heard that joke many times. Or maybe we're staring into the abyss. There's all this stuff, and then, you know, the news media picks it up, and it just goes on and on and on. And then the whole point is how do you control all this, you know? And how do you control and make sure that we're always maintaining our best face forward? So outreach is required. If anything, at least for damage control. And trying to make sure we change the conversation. So that's really the importance of engagement. It's important to engage our critics, explain our motivations of the design, and when we engage, we're communicating our intent, right? We're saying, this is why we're doing something. If somebody complains about a lack of feature, or if GNOME Terminal is suddenly not without transparency, dear God, why? It's because of specific reasons. And, you know, some of that is because of not enough resources, whatever it is. But if we don't challenge that, then we fall into the same thing, right? We're always talking about removing features. Oh, GNOME Terminal removed transparency. See, they're doing it again. And you have to be always out there. And when you do when you do go up there and you challenge your critics, they will cede ground to you. I have done this many times. Anybody on the internet can sit there and say whatever babble they have. But if you come up there and you tell them, that's not true. I work on GNOME, that's not true. And they will back down. It has happened many times. The conversation changes. And when the conversation changes, you control the conversation. You control the conversation and you change the conversation. And that is one of the great benefits of engagement. Because we are able to do that kind of thing. And it's actually quite rewarding when you can change minds. So this is what you shouldn't do. Don't engage. Don't sit around there. Stick your head in the sand. You don't want to do that. Because if you don't, then somebody else writes your story for you. Again, it's all about writing the story. You don't want to let somebody else say, this is what GNOME stands for. This is what they do. We don't want that at all. So don't stick your head in the sand. Don't disengage. You know, when 3.0 has come out, there was no developers out there. Now, there's a lot of good reasons for that. And that was, they had just finished 3.0. They were trying to do stabilization. But there was no apparatus to hold all this critiquing or criticizing, right? So we had to do a lot of engagement. I mean, there was no apparatus, and we had lots of high-profile people. You had Linus Torvalds, you had Ingo Molnar, you had all these people who have at least a year to the media complaining. And we didn't really explain ourselves, did we? So engagement was slow. We started off very slowly. We didn't have any mechanism to talk about engagement. We didn't have any mechanism to show what we're doing, right? We may have release notes, we had all this great stuff about how cool everything was, but we didn't say why. Why did we do this? We didn't do any of that stuff. And when you would say, well, what was the reason why we had, you know, hotspots or things like that? What was the reason for all that? So where was the explanation for that? And so that's where things goes wrong, right? And you lose track of the conversation. So it really was time to get serious, right? We need to pull together our communication channels and really engage the community, right? So we did a number of things. We created a Facebook profile. We created a Twitter account. We did a Google Plus. We did everything we could to make sure that we can control the message. We consolidated the GNOME namespace on IRC. We control the IRC GNOME space. Nobody can create a GNOME channel without our say-so. And, you know, I took on a lot of kernel developers and things like that. Just happened my bad luck that being employed at Open Source Technology Center, I also have a lot of kernel developers and X developers and a bunch of things. So my Google Plus page was probably filled with flames. But, you know, and I took it even further. I actually searched anything with hashtag GNOME, and I engaged them. Even, I didn't do it passive. I wasn't passive about this at all. I was aggressive. I went through, and I found anybody I could, any wild-eyed person on the internet, I engaged him, you know, because it was worth it. I went to like Reddit, and I went to Reddit slash that, whatever it was, and I put myself out there because I needed to make sure that we are putting our best face forward and we are communicating. So, how did it turn out? It turned out all right. I can't speak for Twitter or Facebook, but the Google Plus community has been pretty good. And even on LWN, same thing. It can be really rewarding, and you can change minds. And even if they're upset with GNOME or whatever it is, you have built a reputation for yourself. So your own personal reputation goes up, and people will look at you as a trustworthy resource for anything related to GNOME or just as a person. So that's and so and the other comment I wanted to make was that, at this point, it's self-sustaining. So we could have a bad news day, and we could see comments where we would actually see people say, "No, I like GNOME 3. What's wrong with it?" So before, we didn't have any, in the GNOME 2 days, we didn't have these people saying anything. It was silence. Now you have people challenging with other people. I'm not there to doing that. Other people are doing that. And, it's great. And we have forums now. We have the Google Plus pages have GNOME developers who are core developers who are going out there and answering questions, even writing extensions, sample extensions, things like that. These are all huge positive things. And I think despite whatever gloom or articles you see on Planet or whatever it is, we're turning the corner on this. We're turning the corner. So the question is our job done? And that's an interesting question. And I'm going to say no. I think not by a long shot. We have a lot of work to continue because it's a sustaining model. You have to continue monitoring. You're always going to have to do that because there's always going to be some misconception or something. So it's really important we continue to engage with our own community, with our community. But one thing we found out from these last set of posts is that we also do need to do outreach to our internally, right? There are a lot of people who are maybe not sure about where we're going or what we're doing. And we should really have our conversation within ourselves so that we don't have posts that talks about the last Guadec or Abyss or any other thing where people are not sure. We should be the we they should come to us. And that's the role of a community manager, is to be able to have someone to go to talk about doubts instead of taking it to the airwaves. Right? So we need to that's something we need to work on. We need to be able to do community involvement internally. So, doing community management. I guess I'm a bit of a different case. A lot of people don't do what I do, which is go in and engage people aggressively and finding fights on the internet. It's probably I used to stay up late and go to it was a thing to do. It was sort of a way to pass time. And when you have a bit of scotch and whatnot, good times, right? Good times. But if you're gonna do it, right? There's some things there. If you're an introvert, this is probably not the thing for you. And if you're sensitive or you lose your temper a lot easily, this is probably not a thing for you. Community management requires patience, and I mean a lot of patience. It also requires repeating yourself constantly. You can have an argument and you can repeat the same thing over and over again. And there's really something really interesting about that. Because if you say it and you say it in the soothing voice, they actually do stop complaining. And they back off and sort of like, yeah, okay. And they will try it. Like, why don't you try it? Have you ever seen like green eggs and ham? It's the same thing. Green eggs and ham. I think I have actually used that. So the other thing is always be positive. No matter how ugly it gets, be positive, and you'll get the sense that the previous screen I showed with people saying, you know, giving compliments is precisely that. If you're keeping it positive, you don't attack the other person, you actually get results. So a couple things. Be sincere. Don't BS. That doesn't mean you need to be a constant cheerleader. If something sucks and you agree, you say it. Yeah, I agree, it sucks. People won't believe you if you're always going to be defensive. So say if you agree, yeah, I agree, you're right, it's something we need to work on. Let me get back to you. I already told you about patience. The free software person is a very emotional beast. They are, passion is a double-edged sword. So the passion that drives people to write code also drives them to be emo. It's a funny thing because they will blather about a lot of things. So again, you've got to keep saying this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. This is why we're doing it. And you're going to have to repeat yourself. And so I'm kind of repeating myself here and there. But you do need to keep it positive, and it is going to be worthwhile. The other important point is, and this is something I learned from marketing. When I was in college, I was actually part of a marketing college group, and we were selling. We were providing an opportunity to companies to get interns from other countries. And one of the things, and you go through some training, and one of the things you go through is that whenever you're marketing somebody, you need to get something from them. Anything. A pen, paper, phone number, whatever. So I'm applying that principle to complainers. If somebody complains something, I can't, why are we doing this way? Tell them to file a bug. Help them file a bug. Do whatever you can to get them to invest in the project. Some way, some shape, way or form. I did this with two kernel developers. They stopped complaining and actually filed bugs. It's very easy to complain, but if you can get them to actually file and do something, big win. Big win. And we can definitely, we want to do that. We want to turn complainers into doers. If they don't like the direction of the project, get involved. Join the GNOME Foundation. Do something. Because only then you're going to have a voice. If you have a voice, then you have a way to change. So that's how I've always approached people who complain, is that, well, you can't complain and then not invest time. That you don't get anything for free. So in the end, it's a mixed bag. Whether they change their minds or not, at least they'll remember you. And really, when they remember you, then you can always restart the conversation. Because nothing stays the same. The same thing happened in 1.0, 2.0. Many people left. Then as time stabilized, people come back. That's how it works. Everything, nothing is static. When people say, I'm down jumping ship, I'm going to KDE, they'll be like, KDE will do something, they'll come back. That's how it goes. Like, I did tell you that the free software animal is a very emotional person. A couple caveats. I didn't want people to go out there and then do community management and then speak for the GNOME Foundation. You don't really, people who are experienced are people who can invoke being part of the project. Because you are, at that point, representing GNOME. And it would be better if you had somebody who's done this before and you know, you don't actually put your foot in your mouth, pun intended. So if you run into a problem, you should contact me or somebody else on the marketing team. But go out there and engage. So this is pretty much all I had for my talk. I can have some questions. Yeah, Flavia.
Hi. It's not exactly a question, it's more like a complaint, just about your complaint to say. Now, I would like to say that I think that it's important to talk about complaints, about the fact that sometimes there is something that is not very clear. But how do you say, I think that it's very important to try to communicate where we are going and try to make the people to be trust what the developer are doing. For example, I had this conversation some years ago when GNOME 3 has been already delivered, and some people said, "Oh, but it's not, it doesn't work. GNOME 2 was better, and blah blah blah." And I say, "Okay," and I had some questions to ask, and some people come from GNOME told me, "Okay, you are right for this and for that and for this one, but please be patient. We are just in the beginning, so be patient and ask." And wait that the developer make their work. So I think that it's very important. Try to make the people understand that not everything could be done immediately. So to have trust in the community, and this is good.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's true. You made a comment about acting professionally, right? Yeah, that is exactly what we were talking about, is to be professional. And I think a lot of the things I was saying here is precisely that. That's where in the caveat it says, don't put your foot in your mouth when you're talking, because once you invoke GNOME, you should be professional, because you're holding our reputation in your hands. So people will judge you at that point. When developers communicate, though, I've seen things that make me cringe. So every once in a while, you'll see GNOME developers going at it with kernel developers, and it's like, oh my God, okay, you know. And for them, it's just like what it was in the GNOME 2 days. It's just this, right? I jump in and then just try to keep it civil, but it's not always possible, right? This is the same kind of thing with the LKML and all that. It's just something they need to get out of their system. But I don't really like, gorillas pounding their chests and going at it. That's just really not the way to behave, at least certainly not from our side. So. Any other questions? All right, great. Thanks for coming to our talk. I know.